You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Indeed, it is a Gym Class for a Tuesday, September the 5th. Great to have you aboard as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour here on 1600 ESPN, KGYM, as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. From our Circa Sports Iowa studios here on the southwest side, we welcome you. Scott Unash with you, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, Mark Dukes, will join me coming up in a moment from his back porch in the southwest side. Andrew, on a Tuesday, is on the other side of the glass. I'm all messed up, as everybody is, because we had a three-day weekend. How are you?
I'm good.
Good to see you. Good to see you. I'm 75% mentally aware that it is a Tuesday.
Yeah. Worked my other job yesterday, and it threw me off because we were still open.
Okay. But you are here, so that's good.
Yeah.
You're fine. You're good. You did fine. We are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union here on the Gym Class. Thank you to DuPaco. And learn more about your financial well-being by visiting them at their website, DuPaco.com, celebrating their 75th anniversary. A lot to get to on the show today. Reaction from Iowa and Iowa State's openers, UNI as well, the college football landscape, et cetera, et cetera. And want to get your feedback, your thoughts, and what your big takeaways heading into Cy-Hawk week is concerned, specifically with Iowa and Iowa State national landscape as well. 319-366-1600 is a text line. That is our phone line as well, 319-366-1600, as we come your way here from the Circus Sports Iowa studios in the southwest side, as Mark joins me on a Tuesday with some clouds, and we hope some rain tonight, Mark. Good afternoon.
That'd be nice. Good afternoon, Scott and Andrew and everyone out there. And a hearty happy birthday to you, Scott. If I could sing, I would. But you don't want to have that in your mind throughout the show.
I don't want to have that in my mind. Thank you. A lot of well-wishers out there sending me happy birthday wishes. And you get to our point, Mark, you don't make a big deal about the birthday anymore, but it's nice to have people recognize it.
No, you're just thankful to have them, right?
Yeah, you're just thankful to have them at this point. So, thank you. Thank you. And we hope you have a good week. It's always around the Labor Day weekend, and I was born on Labor Day, as a matter of fact. My mom reminds me of that all the time, that she was in labor on Labor Day. It's kind of it's kind of one of those things that is a running joke. But thank you to everybody out there. Do appreciate it. Was a great weekend, except for getting underway and waking up Saturday morning to the just awful news that we lost Jimmy Buffett on Friday, late Friday into Saturday. And I am a fan. I'm not a parrot head, but I'm a fan. Always will be a fan of Jimmy Buffett, and we lost one of the great ones out there. So, pour one out for Jimmy if you haven't done so already this weekend. A lot of people probably have. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. And what a weekend, Mark. And it was stretching 5 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It opened with Minnesota coming back to beat Nebraska. It ends with maybe the biggest clunker of the weekend, and that was a team that I thought was going to be poised to possibly win the ACC and get into the college football playoff. Not to say they can't by going 12-1. I just don't see it happening. Dabo Swinney and the Clemson Tigers. Duke, ladies and gentlemen, not only a basketball school, they looked good last night.
They did indeed, and as I went through some of the games and tried to maybe arrange them and in order, I thought were, most surprising. you certainly have to have Colorado, TCU up there. And I'm sure we'll talk about that in a little bit. But what Florida State did to LSU was an absolute beatdown, as was last night, Duke and Clemson. First time it Duke has beaten a top 10, what is a top 10 team for 40 years? I don't know. And Baylor falling to Texas State. Texas State with a new coach. Just up and down the line. Great storylines, some exhilaration, and some huge disappointments, really.
Well, let's start locally, Iowa and Iowa State. Cyclone Tim is already revving up Cyhawk Week with his logos. Thank to both Todd and our programs. Probably we'll do it to Spencer's as well. Spencer on Sports coming up from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. And by the way, Coach's Cuts coming up during Spencer's program, brought to you by Network Computer Solutions, online at ncsei.com. As we'll hear from Kirk Ferentz, going to hear from Matt Campbell as well, coming up between 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock, I would imagine. But starting things off on the text line, just a few texts already starting to trickle in anyway. 5594, I'm sticking to the quote, "I will look like that to not show ISU much," unquote, with the Hawks. "I think Saturday will be sloppy." And I would happen to agree at the moment. It is only Tuesday of Cyhawk Week, so I've already changed my mind twice on how I think this game is going to go from last week, and it may change again. "Hope the Hawks can run the ball a lot better Saturday, and I hope Kelsey's knee is okay." Matt from Fairfax, you, me, both, brother. As far as Travis Kelce, I think he's going to be okay. Sky Moore, in case you missed it, Travis Kelce hyperextended his knee, according to Andy Reid, today in practice for the Chiefs and the Lions on Thursday night. Sky Moore said he was on the field when it happened, said Kelce walked off, so the truth lies somewhere in between. David and Hudson, the offensive line run blocking week one, still not good. Hopefully gets better, but I'm not holding my breath. Mark, your thoughts about the Iowa win, first of all. We'll start there. No particular order. We're not favoring. You've got to do that this week. You have to explain everything on Cyhawk Week. Now, you know, we'll talk about Iowa first today, but we may talk Iowa State first, you know, tomorrow, mm-hmm. Thursday. You've got to get this thing and have no favoritism this week.
No, I mean, I do have a favorite, but I can't full-on state it right now because some people might get mad.
That's right. And we are journalists.
Yeah.
So we must maintain the middle of the road.
Yes.
So, but Mark, we'll start with Iowa. And their win against Utah State, not overpowering, 24-14. A couple, two or three thoughts at the top of your head that you took from the game.
Well, of course, it was the Iowa video board malfunctioning and the ticket snafu at Iowa State. Personally, they'll get it worked out. Don't worry about it. Fine. As for the game itself, after the first two possessions for Iowa, very underwhelming. And I agree with the tech sign. The offensive line blocking was not impressive. And I'm not a tactician. I don't know what Iowa threw at Utah State. I saw Utah State load the box many times and perhaps knew exactly the play that was coming. I think Iowa wanted to get in, get out with as few injuries as possible. But, yeah, when you rush for 2.4 yards a carry, that's not going to win many games. I don't think it's going to be good enough this week. You know, on the plus side, well, I don't know if it's a plus side. Iowa played Cade McNamara much longer than I think it hoped to. Deacon Hill didn't come in until the middle of the fourth quarter. And McNamara got dinged in the third quarter. Kind of a pirouette move that he was limping. And today he said his injury is not 100%. So, once again, this is something we're going to have to monitor. A lot of work with the tight ends. 10 of the 17 completions that McNamara had went to tight ends, Eric All and Luke Lachey. Defensively, Jay Higgins had a bang-up game at middle linebacker. He was just all over the field. And one thing to keep and remember, I didn't count the total number of players that Iowa used in this game, but I did count the number of defensive players used in this game, and it was 27. Now, granted, some of those were in mop-up duty late in the game, but others, like Jeremiah Pittman, who played three games last year, he played a lot early and a lot often at the defensive tackle position. So that has a bit to do with Noah Shannon being out. But I guess those are some of the highlights that I particularly have. And whether it's Iowa or Iowa State, I try not to read too much into, you know, the first game for a variety of reasons. But in some respects, you can't help it.
319-366-1600, text line, phone line as well, 319-366-1600. I agree with a lot of the things that you talked about, Mark. And Cade McNamara met the media earlier on today, and he basically came out and said that, you know what, this thing is never going to be 100%. And he did tweak whatever it was, the soft tissue injury, whatever you want to call it, et cetera, on that little pirouette move. He tweaked it, and he was just did not move the same since then. And he's not going to be anywhere close to 100%. Kirk Ferentz, in his comments today during his news conference, said that they're not going to be running any quarterback sneaks or any boots for Cade McNamara. Well, you just took out, you're down to half the field or three quarters of the field now if you're the Iowa offense. That's a little alarming. I thought the scripted plays were excellent. The first two drives were absolutely things of beauty by the Iowa offense. And then it became very stagnant very quickly again. The line, was it better than last year? Probably yes, a little bit. Was it great? Absolutely not. That's got to improve if you're an Iowa fan. The running attack, and let me say this first of all, Mark, that a lot more two tight end looks, three tight end looks for Iowa this year.
Even four,
yeah, on a couple different occasions. Where? Remember the call we got a few years ago from Wally? Four tight ends? Yeah. Well, it happened. Anyway, very little use of the fullback on Saturday by Iowa. If everyone noticed that. It's a lot harder to run the ball when you do not have an extra blocker out there. And I think Iowa realized that a little bit. Probably was a 24-6 game. Last touchdown was against the twos, basically, for Utah State. And, you know, it is what it is as far as that is concerned. Jay Higgins was an animal. I agree. I thought he was the best player in the field for Iowa, offensively or defensively, on Saturday. He was just absolutely great. And before he left the game with the heat-related injuries, I thought Xavier Wampa may have been the second best guy on the field. He was really, really good. Cade McNamara gives Iowa a little bit of boost. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I liked what Son of Flipper did in his little bit of playing time that he got. Targets, got the first touchdown, et cetera, et cetera. And Iowa did, other than the first double move pass for the first touchdown, Iowa basically didn't throw the ball deep. Other than a couple of occasions, Nico Roganini, the pass in the end zone that went tough catch over the shoulder of Willie Mays, catch went through his hands, didn't come up with it. You know, it was a typical Kirk Ferentz Iowa opener. I think you probably can't read enough into it. You can't read too much coming out of it, as far as that game is concerned, Mark.
As far as McNamara's performance, Raganini and Lachey both made terrific catches over the middle to kind of save McNamara's bacon on those. I was going to have to eventually throw the intermediate ball at a minimum. Teams will load up on the tight end some way, somehow. And, you know, you're going to have to get the Raganini and maybe Caleb Brown and Anderson and others involved in those medium routes. I think starting this week, really, because Iowa State's got a pretty good defensive backfield. But, you know, Iowa opens as a slight favorite in this game. I was kind of dropped my jaw on that one when it first came out, but I understand. Iowa State played you and I a very tough FCS team and looked good doing so. So odds makers are never too far off unless you're talking about my picks and the pick six.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that coming up in a little bit. Please, for the love of whatever, don't say Iowa was keeping it vanilla for Iowa State. That excuse is about 15 years too old. I would agree. Iowa showed a lot of stuff in those first two drives. Those scripted plays were really good for Brian Ferentz. And no, we're not going to get into the 24 points instead of 25 points. My favorite chimes on Saturday were, is he going to go for two now? They get to 25. There's a lot of season left, and that can be said for a lot of things. I would agree with you, 92-81. 61-20, Iowa dropping a couple touchdowns. I hit on Raganini. I don't know if that was a tough catch, Mark. That was a tough catch. If you've never tried to catch one over the shoulder like that and may have been looking into the sun, that's a tough catch. I'm not going to hang that one on him. And go ahead. What else we got here? Matt in Cedar Rapids. Vegas always knows, Mark. He says, let's see. Audanium will be a handful this Saturday for Iowa Go State. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it. See you Wednesday, by the way. 319-366-1600. We'll get to Iowa State here in a moment. Cyclone Tim, though, saying I was pleased with the special teams for ISU on Saturday. I would agree. They've not been very special in previous years. If they want to have any chance to beat Iowa, they'll have to be good in that area this weekend. That was the first game with a special teams coordinator for Matt Campbell in Iowa State.
Yeah, the punting was good, a 56-yard field goal. That's impressive and bodes well for the Cyclones. By the way, apologies for anybody trying to access to the show via the streaming advice. I understand there's some issues in that regard.
Oh, well, we apologize for that. Andrew, did you know that?
I didn't know that, no.
Okay, perhaps you should alert the folks, somebody. Yes. I have no idea who. Alert somebody.
Yes, yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you with that. Doug in Iowa City, and I couldn't agree more. If I could agree 105 to 110%, I would with you. 10-7 game last year. May not many more points will be scored Saturday, in my opinion. I agree. I think this is going to be an absolute uggo slugfest. Go at it in the trenches. And what little mistake is going to be made by one team is going to dictate who wins this game coming up on Saturday evening.
I think so, too. And we talked about Iowa's inability to rush the ball. And last week we talked about the five running backs for Iowa State that were on the OR line. Well, I think three of those five carried the football for the Cyclones. Abu Sama was
amazing.
Kind of electrifying, wasn't he?
Yes.
He's going to have to be dealt with. But, you know, you're going to have to run the football in this game. And Rocco Beck, the starting quarterback for this game, he had a nice game, two touchdown passes. Got the better of it statistically with J.J. Cole. not to say that Cole won't be seen in this game, but Beck's your guy this week.
I would agree. 319-366-1600. Same issues with the show stream as Iowa State had with the ticket scanners. Oh, too soon, Matt. Too soon for that. Listen, like you said at the start, Jamie Pollard came out Sunday. Iowa State's going to get it taken care of. If you've ever been in business before, you know things go wrong. And that went wrong, you fix it. And it'll get fixed. So get there earlier, and you'll get in, and everything will be just fine with a better system coming up this week. A not very experienced quarterback for ISU could spell trouble Saturday, too, although Rocco was pretty good against UNI. Iowa is a different level, though, says Tim. 325, we're going to talk about Iowa State coming up here in just a moment. Want to get to Mark and an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update, though. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. They are located on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. Of course, Emil's Hideaway open at 4 o'clock. Classic local American restaurant right across from Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot. And yes, several people saying, yeah, we're having some issues with the stream going on right now. So if you are used to listening via the stream, please be patient. We are working on it. Andrew has alerted the correct people to that, and we will try to get it up and running for you 100% coming up before the end of the show and before Spencer goes on the air at 4 o'clock. All right, Mark, let's get it to you for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update on a Monday or Tuesday afternoon. See, there I did it. I said Monday. It's a Tuesday.
With all the football going on, hardly anyone except me noticed the unlikely, unbelievable story on the LPGA Tour over the weekend. Shanette Wanasayan, a 19-year-old out of Thailand, won the Portland Classic by 4 strokes. She was a Monday qualifier and had missed 9 of her last 10 cuts, and now she's a winner on the LPGA Tour. Oregon racked up 81 points against Portland. That meant the Oregon mascot did 546 push-ups to mark the number of points. That's not much fun.
No.
Iowa field hockey has ascended to number one in the country after a terrific start, 5-0, I believe, has a couple games this week. And finally, Nick Brooks, the 6'8 offensive lineman for Cedar Rapids Kennedy, apparently will make his college announcement on Friday. His final 5 schools are Tennessee, Florida State, Alabama, Georgia, and Iowa.
We'll see Nick on Friday night. Kennedy and Linmar coming up on Friday night. The 0-2 Cougars. I don't think anyone thought saw that one in the crystal ball. And Linmar 2-0, I think number 4 in the state. Prairie 3 in the state this week in the Gazette poll. So, yeah, that should be a big, big game. And I know everybody plays the who was most impressive in week one game. A lot of people saying Florida State. You can't really argue with them, though, Mark.
No, that was a second half beatdown, no doubt about it. Man, I hate to see Brian Kelly lose, don't you?
Brian Kelly, I'm starting to really – I'm sorry, Troy. I'm starting to question Brian Kelly. I'm starting to question Brian Kelly. Because big wins in the career. And I know that's just one. I shouldn't overreact, but he's done it before. Florida State goes up to number 4 in the AP poll, which is out. Iowa fell out. Don't overreact, everyone. It's fine. Iowa's 26th if it went out to 26. Clemson is still at number 25. They weren't going to fall all the way out of the top 25. Duke came in after their win. Colorado came in at 22 after their win. Colorado did not make the coaches poll, interestingly enough. I knew it'd be close. I figured Colorado would be 21 through 25, somewhere in there on both polls. I thought they would be in both polls. They are not. I think people are kind of settling in just to see exactly how this all plays out. Iowa State got 2 votes, by the way, in the AP top 25 this week. We'll take a break, come back, and we're going to talk about Iowa State and UNI, both from the Cyclone perspective, a little bit about the Panthers perspective as well. Talk a little bit about the week in college football and more when we return. It is the Gym Class presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union right here on KGYM. Back after this.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And even with the clouds, it's still going to be a toasty day. Temperatures are going to be around 90 degrees, and there may be a few showers around. The higher chance for some scattered showers and storms comes tonight, mainly after 7 p.m. A storm or two could have some gusty winds and hail, and then overnight, drier, cooler air starts to move in. Tomorrow will be cloudy. Temperatures will be held to the upper 70s. Humidity will be lower as well. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Get ready for fall with hot deals at Menards. Saving on hardwood firewood bundles. $3.99 each after 11% off. Fire up the grill. Royal Oak Hickory Charcoal is just $6.99 after rebate. Tackle fall projects with performance work gloves. $2.99 a pair after 11% off. And a 17-pound bag of fall lawn food with weed control is $14.99 after rebate. Good through September 10. Savings are mail and rebates. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards. Tune in to 1600 ESPN every weekday at 5 o'clock with Spencer on Sports for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Anyone who has ever needed self-storage knows what a hassle it can be. You have to rent or borrow a truck and then find someone to help you move your stuff. And let's face it, moving furniture and heavy items without damaging them isn't easy. Renting the unit is worse. The hidden fees and admin costs are scarier than the dingy facilities you're leaving your stuff in. Why not use Closet Box instead? Closet Box is self-storage without leaving home. They'll pick up your belongings, store them securely, and bring any item back when you need it. The best part? Unlike traditional self-storage, you only pay for what you store. No paying for unused storage space. Closet Box's background check storage movers are licensed, bonded, and insured and will take care of all of the heavy lifting. Closet Box's local storage centers are temperature controlled and monitored 24/7. Closet Box has an A+ rating from the BBB. Call 877-233-5696 now for the season's best rates. Get $50 off first month storage using code RADIO50. That's 877-233-5696. 877-233-5696.
3:32 back with you on the Gym Class for Tuesday on KGYM. We have our stream up and running again, I have been told by several people. So that's good news. Nice work, Andrew. You did good. Give yourself a gold star today.
Thank you.
I'm going to put you up for Employee of the Week.
Yes.
Is there such a thing?
I don't think there is here.
Okay. If there is, I got your back, man. I got you.
Thank you.
Scott Unash, Mark Dukes. Andrew, up for Employee of the Week. We're all with you here on a Tuesday edition of the program. And let's get to Iowa State UNI from Saturday afternoon, Mark. A 1 o'clock kickoff, by the way, at Jack Trice Stadium. Very, very refreshing to see that. And by 1:15, the Iowa State defense had already put Iowa State up 7-0 with a pick six. Questions coming in about the Iowa State offense. I think the questions still are out there. I thought Rocco Becht was, I thought he did fine. He did okay. J.J. Cole, yeah, okay. I think Becht deserves to be the starter, and he is going to be the starter coming up Saturday when Iowa comes to Jack Trice Stadium to take on Iowa State. I was really impressed by the special teams, and I was also impressed by the Iowa State defense. I wanted to see how they were going to perform without the services of a number one draft choice and Will McDonald and others. And yes, it is a FCS team, and we'll talk about that more coming up in a little bit before 4 o'clock. But I thought the Iowa State defense was pretty good.
That's the thing that stuck out to me, Scott. And when your quarterback can enter with a 7-0 lead, that's kind of nice. With the interception return for a touchdown. And, you know, UNI is going to put up some points in FCS this year. But Iowa State pretty much shut the Panthers down. 279 total yards, 173 yards passing for Theo Day. So, I mean, that's the thing that stuck out to me. And we earlier mentioned that The 56-yard field goal, good punting average, but a little step up in competition this week.
It will step up in competition. The Iowa State offense, I think, did what they had to do. They got big plays. Abu Sama was, I think, the best of the five runners that got in there for Iowa State, the true freshman out of Southeast Polk. He is dynamic. He is dynamic. And Iowa State just, they got that lead. They didn't really need to do much. They probably, they needed to do less than what Iowa had to do against Utah State at that particular time. And why, hey, again, it's a situation, why show a whole lot if you're Matt Campbell? And they didn't. Special teams are much better. New kicker, punting average was around 50 yards. And Perkins was very, very good on Saturday. It's an Iowa State team, and a lot of people that are Cyclone fans were talking about the fact that, okay, last year was kind of a lost year, and you had, not to blame the quarterback and the running back who are no longer there, but are you, were you really going to lose a whole lot by having new personnel at those two positions? And I guess after 1 week anyway, the answer is no.
Right. And this game, perfect example that statistics are oftentimes meaningless. You and I outgained Iowa State 279 to 250, but because of a variety of reasons, the interception return for a touchdown, Iowa State had a 21-yard drive. Those things matter, and it ended up to be a 30-9 victory. And additionally, on defense, you and I was knocking on the door a couple times there in the second half, and Iowa State turned them away.
They did. They did. And the Iowa State secondary was good. They put a pass rush on Theo Day, and when Day did have time to throw it, defensive secondary, which we knew was going to be a strength for this Iowa State team for Matt Campbell. And I think they showed, they did show that they were going to be a strength this year. If they can get kicking, that kicking game taken care of. And as we mentioned, that was the first game that Matt Campbell had a special teams coordinator there. And a lot of people that weren't talking about the tickets and getting in were talking about that, and how much better the Cyclone special teams were and the amount of detail placed on those special teams and how it showed. And yes, now, again, it was an FCS team. And we'll get to might as well get to it now, Mark, and that is the fact that in this new brave world of college football that we have in 2023, it is, dare I say, I'm not going to say you are never going to have it happen again, but the likelihood of an Appy State coming to Michigan or a UNI going to Iowa City or Ames, or I think unless it's like a North Dakota State or a South Dakota State going somewhere, I think those may be the two exceptions. I think the days of FCS even coming close to FBS with the portal and with NIL are gone.
Yeah, I think the gap is widening. You could see it in the Florida State LSU game and other games. And as I mentioned a couple times last week, that's why it's really so hard to handicap a lot of these games. We knew Utah State coming into the Iowa game was one of the worst defenses in the country, but it acquired some players through the portal and schemed well, and that ended up being maybe not uncomfortable, but a closer game than people thought. And as far as Iowa State goes, I thought they were going to have an underrated defense this year. Yeah, they lost some players, a number one draft pick, but they have others. And we talked about Iowa's inability to run the football against Utah State. They're going to have to keep Cade McNamara clean, too. McNamara was sacked once. He kind of avoided getting hit badly, but he was sacked once. Protecting McNamara is going to be just as big as running the football.
He got hit, though, quite a few times. And there were a few times he got rattled pretty good by Utah State. I thought Utah State was better than advertised. I really did. Didn't show in the first couple of those scripted plays in the first two drives, but you know what? Too good of a coaching staff in Logan, Utah to get blown out and get their doors blown off like that. And I thought they did some nice things in that particular game. They're a little underrated, I think, as far as the Mountain West is concerned, or the Pac-12, or whatever they're calling it from here on in. By the way, the Pac-12, a perfect weekend. They didn't all play. I think there was one team that did not play. They were 13-0, but a great weekend by the Pac-12 in the final go-around, as they are known by. If they're going to be Mountain West, Pac-12, I don't know what's going to happen. But they're really good at football so far this year. I wish I had the last 5 days, Mark, I wish I had a dollar for every time one of the television announcers or radio announcers said, oh, they are a transfer from blank, blank, blank. Hey, transfer from blank, blank, blank. I know this is the world we are living in right now, but this is 300% worse than NFL free agency. I mean, this is every year free agency. Florida State needed receivers. They needed big receivers. They went out and got 2 6'4" guys. And the rest is history. Florida State could win a national championship with as good as that defense is and as good as the receiving core is. So that's just the way it goes. The FCS teams went 0-for against the FBS teams. If you're wondering, Texas State is not a Division I AA team. They used to be. They used to be, but they have moved up to Division I. And there weren't a lot of the lower echelon besides Texas State. In fact, they may have been the only one that came up with a victory on Saturday. And yes, there are players that go from high-profile Power 5 programs down to a lesser program, but there aren't nearly as many as make the trek the other way. And I think there was, I can't remember which game it was. It was Saturday night. Might have been the UCLA game. UCLA and Coastal Carolina, they were talking about this very subject, in that you're just not going to see the chances of a big upset being pulled in this age of NIL and the transfer portal have shrunk basically to nothing.
Yeah, I've come to grips with it. You know, I don't think it's going to be any better for the lesser Division I programs. Right now, I'm already sick of Deion Sanders. I mean, that was a terrific win against the TCU team that is not anywhere near what it was last year. Remember last year, TCU won 6 one-score games. It wasn't like they were blowing out everybody.
And they weren't in the top 25 to start the year.
No. My big regret is Deion made it racial and Jamel Hill said the coverage was racial. I'll stand by while you get back to me on that.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you about Deion. It was a great victory for Colorado. Great, great victory for Colorado. But then he talked after the game and it just soured everything. Yes, there are people that are saying that the way Deion did it was not great, was not the right way to do it. I didn't go out and say it. In my mind, yeah, I don't like it. I understand it. But don't get rid of the entire team. Bring in another team. And also, that is a very talented football team that he has. He has the number one. Hunter was the number one player coming out of high school 2 years ago. And he is a terrific offensive and defensive player. Deion's two kids are tremendous. They've got talent, 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 talent. And they may pound Nebraska coming up in Boulder this week. But then it was all soured. I felt good, and then it was all soured by everything that was said afterwards. And just, yeah, I moved on from that. Good win. Is Colorado going to go 12-0? Probably not. 319-366-1600. Did you catch Wyoming, Texas Tech? Best game of the day, 4702 says. Yes, I did. Got to see a lot of that game. And I reiterate, I have no idea why Texas Tech was so highly rated and highly thought of going into the 2023 season. It's, to me, the same Texas Tech that I've seen. While the Pac-12, Mark, had a very good weekend, the Big 12 did not have a great first weekend. I mean, yeah, everybody that should have won, won. But except for Baylor. Baylor losing at home to in-state Texas State was not the greatest thing to come down the pike. Texas Tech losing at Wyoming was not the best thing to come down the pike for the Big 12.
Well, of all the games that were on, that's one I missed. But I did see the score on that one. And, you know, that's not good for the Big 12. That's for sure. But, you know, I was highly entertained over the weekend from Thursday to Monday. And it's not going to be that way this week because the NFL begins on Thursday night. But like I said earlier in the show, there are teams that are disappointed. Purdue loses to Fresno State at home. Is Ohio State satisfied with a 23-3 win at Indiana? I doubt it. This is what first games are.
And teams are going to get better.
Unless you're Oregon.
Yeah, Oregon's, yeah, they didn't need to get to 81. They didn't need to get to 81, but they did, and that's fine. There was an 81 and a 71 put up over the weekend. 0835 asking, can Colorado's defense get better? They play like that every game, and the offense has a bad game. How are they going to handle that pressure? And I believe that's probably why Colorado didn't get rated in the coaches poll and, 22nd in the AP poll, because they did give up 42. And TCU still got talent. I mean, that's still a good win for Colorado, a great win for Deion Sanders. You can't deny that. But they got to get that defense fixed a little bit more. Hunter is amazing, by the way. That interception he made was incredible. Xavier Wampa's interception was incredible as well for Iowa in the Utah State game on Saturday also. But yeah, Colorado's defense as a whole got to get a little bit better. Got to get a little bit better.
What if Nebraska puts a knot on Colorado's head this week in Boulder? What's Deion going to say? We're not coming, we're going, I guess.
Well, Deion today said the Nebraska rivalry is personal. I have not read that. I just saw that come out from CBS Sports. That is a personal rivalry.
Everything's personal with Deion, and that's what makes him so great. He's a Muhammad Ali of college football coaches right now. I mean, his son, the quarterback, got snubbed by the Florida State offensive coordinator that beat LSU the other night, and Deion snapped him up, and what a hell of a player his son is. Both of them.
Yeah, both of them. 500-plus yards. 500-and-plus yards. That's a Colorado record, by the way. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class on a Monday as we wrap up the college football weekend. Just a great weekend. Always is that 5 days they can enjoy games. Nothing a whole lot better than that. All right, we're going to take a break, come back, have more for you. More text, 319-366-1600. More college football talk when we come back here in the Gym Class on KGYM.
Okay, Max is out with his friends. He's had a few drinks, and now he's ready to go home.
Does he A, risk getting pulled over and hurting himself and someone else by getting behind the wheel? Or B, get someone to drive him? Let's watch. It looks like Max is taking out his phone. He's finding his rideshare app. He's getting a ride. Way to go, Max. Way to go. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
Want Hawkeye football tickets? U.S. Cellular's got them, and you could win a pair. Join the Z and 1600 ESPN crew Thursday from 4 to 6 at U.S. Cellular in Cedar Rapids, 5300 Edgewood Road. You could win a coveted pair of tickets to the Iowa-Michigan State game, but you got to sign up while we're there. So stop by, see us, and register for your chance to win Hawkeye football tickets plus a $20K vacay Thursday from 4 to 6 at U.S. Cellular, 5300 Edgewood Road. U.S. Cellular is a proud sponsor of the Iowa Hawkeyes.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
It's Wrangler season out there. T-shirt days, denim jacket nights. A pair of broken-in jeans you could live in. Open roads, endless horizons, no destinations. This is when adventure starts calling. And you need to be ready in jeans that are made for the unpredictable journey that we call life. Wrangler, for the ride of life. Shop our newest styles today at Wrangler.com.
Back to wrap things up on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Coming up tomorrow, Chris Liss will join us. Your fantasy football questions for Chris. We'll take them tomorrow, pass them along to Chris. He'll give you all the answers, and we'll do that on the program tomorrow. That brought to you by Imon Communications. Chris will grade the annual grading of Scott's team, which will be drafted tonight. Oh, 11th pick. I've got some different strategies. I've been in talks with Chris. And depending on how the first 10 picks goes, we've got this taken care of. He's going to help me. So we'll do that coming up on the program tomorrow. Also, a Bowling Night America preview. You just heard from May City a little bit ago. Great to have bowling back. No Mark. None of us have practiced. So we are ready to go for tomorrow night.
Well, good luck and good bowling. You're at it till the middle of April.
That's a long time, man. If Isaac was here, and we'll talk with him tomorrow, we'll ask him what's long. You know, that's like a soccer season. That never ends, and it seems like bowling never ends. So, but we have a great time with that. We also have a great time with the Emil Sideway Pick 6. We had our first edition this past weekend as well, and we got a winner, Mark. And it was more like the movie Animal House and everybody getting together in Dean Wormer's office, as he's dressing them down and saying, Robert Hoover, congratulations. You're at the top of the Delta class with a 2.0 grade point average. That was kind of the theme of this weekend.
Yeah, Dave and Spencer tied with the best records, each at 3-3. You and I were below that. But Spencer won the week on a tiebreaker. And as he pointed out in an email, you know, he won the first week last week, and that season didn't finish so well. So we wish better things for you this year, Spencer, but not too much, okay? And we have a winner of a $30 gift card to Emos, right?
Yeah, we do. We've got John from Cedar Rapids is our winner, and congratulations to John. He picked Spencer. And I'm not sure if Spencer was first, second, third, or fourth. I have no. Do you know out there, Andrew? Do you have that documentation?
Let me look quick. I have it here.
If it was fourth, it's going to be a great start to the season.
He was second.
Second. Oh, see, John knew what he was doing. John knew what he was doing. Hitched that wagon up to Spencer Wagon. So we'll do it again coming up on Friday. I know Iowa State's going to be one of the games that we will pick. And looking forward to that. We will try to get better this week. You were on Lunch Watch for quite a while, Mark.
I was. Thank you very much, Florida State. And, yeah, this Friday we will pick five college games and an NFL game. How about that?
Oh, really? Okay. I know it won't be the Chiefs and Lions because that will be in the books by the time we get together on Friday. So, yeah. In case you didn't missed it, Travis Kelce with a hyperextension of his knee, and Andy Reid mentioning that during his afternoon news conference today, and no indication. Questionable is basically what they're saying right now as far as Kelce. By the way, if you want to get into our KGYM knockout pool, which is also brought to you by Imon Communications, you need to do that by going to KGYMradio.com. And if you want to pick either the Chiefs or the Lions, you will need to make that pick before Thursday night's start. Otherwise, you have until kickoff of the Monday night game this coming Monday night on September the 11th to make your pick. Just go to KGYMradio.com. And if you are the winner, if you're a solo winner, last one standing, you'll get $300 cash courtesy of Imon Communications and KGYM. One day in the books of Cy-Hawk week. Hopefully it will be a very, very calm week, Mark, but you and I both know better, right?
Yeah, up till now it's been pretty civil, and I think it's been that way for, you know, a few years anyway. There's maybe a bit of bickering back and forth, but in my years of being around this game, it used to get a little bit brutal.
Everyone has said pretty much the right things today. I know Son of Flipper said, and I probably get this audio with Spencer coming up during Spencer on Sports, hopefully anyway, but he said something to the effect that we can do some things. Didn't say what, just looking at film, somebody asked him the question, said, I think we can do some things. That's probably as close as what you'll get to trash talk this week between the two teams.
That's optimistic.
I am going to go on record and saying that's the closest. We are not going to have a Julian Vandeveld statement this week, right? From either Iowa or Iowa State. That's in the past.
My guess is yes.
I would agree. I would agree with you. So, yeah, we'll talk about that more coming up throughout the week. Tomorrow, Chris Liss will join us and a whole lot more. We'll preview the NFL season, get our picks for that as well coming up as we wind our way through the week as the NFL season next to debut on the docket. Mark, have a great night. We will talk with you coming up tomorrow at 3.
Sounds great. Talk then.
All right. Thanks to Andrew. Thanks to everybody for tuning in. You've been listening to The Gym Class presented by DePaco Community Credit Union on KGYM. Stay tuned. Spencer on Sports is next from 4 until 6. Have a great night.
NFL opening night is coming, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is hooking new customers up with a can't-miss offer. Place your